There's still time to save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Create stunning patios and strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast with our easy-to-use design and buy program in-store or on Menards.com. Don't miss out. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save big money at Menards.
When the moon blinked. Do you remember when the moon blinked? I don't suppose you do. Or that's what I assume anyway. From what I've heard, it doesn't seem to affect anyone else outside of this small town. Outside of Grady. I don't understand how something like the moon completely blinking from existence is something that could be territorial. But maybe I'm just focusing on that aspect of things in an effort to come to terms with the reality of what happened that night. Somehow, Henry Roland, old man Roly-Poly, as folks around here used to call him, somehow, he knew it was coming, or at least had an idea of it. I would come to understand that later on. He had always seemed a little bit of a mad old guy. The quintessential nut of this little slice of America. Of course, this town has no shortage of those types. There's something about this place, you know, something dark, lingering beneath the surface of it. I was born here and grew up with tales of lizard people living under the woods, and even ancient gods presiding over the mountains just outside of town. Being the only place I've ever lived, I can't speak to whether or not this is normal some haunted history, defining the inherent madness of some of the elders. For all I know, every town has mysterious legends, inked in blood, dating centuries back. But this one, well, I have experienced the darkness more viscerally than I ever could have imagined. Old man Roland lived just a few houses down from me. So when he started his, well, renovations to his house, I didn't know what to think. Other neighbors didn't seem to think much about it, just shrugging it off. But there was something in his eyes as he aggressively sloped the black paint over his exterior walls, something almost frantic and maniacal that made me hesitate to approach him. I've always gotten along with Henry, have since I was a little tyke. Even though I'm almost 35 now, I don't remember him ever looking young. The house in which I lived in is the same one I grew up in. After my father passed, just a little after my 18th birthday, I felt no desire to move out. The mortgage was paid off some years before his car went off the road on the outskirts of town. So I just stuck around. With his life insurance, I was able to spruce up the place a bit, make it more my own than some monument to the dead. It was always my old man and me for as long as I could remember. My mother apparently didn't survive my birth, but my father was the most loving and caring parent you could imagine. Yeah, he had a few relationships over the years, but not one that stuck around for long with that portion of his heart still exclusively possessed by the one he lost the day I was brought into this world. I still remember the day I lost him, as though it was just yesterday. He was only planning to be gone for a few days, some business trip of some kind. He was a bit of an entrepreneur. My old man had his hands in a lot of creative ventures. It made us a good living, even if he didn't really get into detail with me about any of it. I asked him where he was going that morning. He just gave me that classic smirk.
"Never too far away, Jackie boy,"
he told me, just like he always said every time he headed out to one of these trips, whether going to the other side of the country or just a few towns over. Jackie boy. He always called me that, even though he named me Jack after his father. To the rest of the world, I was simply Jack Corrigan, but I was Jackie boy to him, and him alone. I miss him still, so damn much, every single day. But none of that is important or relevant to what was going on with Henry Rowland. The point is that ever since I was a kid, I was friendly with Rowland, and even enjoyed some of his crazy stories and theories. We maintained something of a relationship through the years, even when kids at school would give me shit for being buddies with the resident nutcase. I can't say I ever paid much attention to that sort of childishness, even when I was a child myself. At first, when I was walking over to Henry's house to see him practically lathering his walls in jet black paint, I was worried, you know? He had to be pushing 80 by this point. But his movements were so erratic, I was scared that he was having some sort of episode. All things considered, he was in remarkable shape for his age, and hadn't suffered many medical issues in his past. Even with that, I just knew that something had to be going on with him. No medical issues, yes, but no one could deny that he had some serious ghosts upstairs, lurking beneath his haunted brain pan. Finally, building up the nerve to approach him after standing before the already blacked out wooden fence, still reeking of wet paint for God knows how long, I just called out his name. He didn't respond at first, just kept slapping his paint-soaked brush against the siding. When I reluctantly creaked open the gate, though, he practically jumped out of his skin. When he looked back at me, his skin so pale, a stark contrast to the already darkened walls, that I almost felt like I was staring at his corpse, I suddenly couldn't find words. We just stared at each other for a moment, the specks of paint splattering across his shirt and khaki pants, smeared across his face and dripping from his fingers, such a bizarrely unsettling sight. Before I could find the words to ask a simple question, "Why are you painting your house?" he preemptively gave me the unwarranted reply.
"When the lights go out, they can't see you in the black."
With that perplexing retort to my unasked question, he just turned back to what he was doing, acting as though he hadn't even seen me or spoken a word. I just slinked back off of his yard, the squealing hinges of his gate only inspiring him to pause the stroke of his brush for a second at best. By the time I arrived back home from work that night, Henry's entire house was matted in that eerie color scheme. He had even covered his windows with a scattering of empty paint cans left strewn across his yard. I could still see a vague light peering through the glass as his brush strokes were stoic at best. But I still couldn't wrap my mind around this. As always, it took me a while to wind down from my shift at the gas station, just down from the Grady City Limits sign. But with my normally friendly, if erratic neighbor's erratic behavior still bewildering my thoughts, the struggle to just settle down and relax was all the more troubled. By the following morning, I had decided to just brush the whole thing off as a potential onset of dementia, given Roland's advanced age and already, well, unpredictable mindset. I was still worried about the guy, but not enough now to approach his now strangely haunting house. Over the next few days, this impromptu home renovation became the talk of the town. Many of the regulars at the gas station knew I was friendly with the old guy, inspiring them to grill me about any knowledge I may have on this. But I had nothing to offer. I was still as unsettled as the rest of them. Perhaps more so, given that I actually had something of a relationship with the guy. As it would turn out, that Saturday, when I was scheduled to work the late shift, I would get some answers to both the unusual paint job as well as some cryptic words with which my old friend had shared some days prior. May 18th, 2019, at 1 o'clock in the morning, that was...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
When the moon blinked above the little town of Grady. Things had been fairly busy that night. Yes, this town isn't exactly bustling or anything, even with the weekends. But traffic could be fairly constant at times. This particular gas station, Patty's Gas and Sip, just a quarter mile or so up the road, being Gideon's, the second most popular of the 13 or so bars in town. So yeah, it could get hectic at times. I had learned to just turn out the especially loud ass off their drunk customers who would stroll in on nights like these. Yeah, they could be obnoxious, especially those who had only recently earned the right to legally buy alcohol. But I kept one of my earbuds in when working the later shift. Sure, I'd have to cut the music if anyone should ask for anything in particular, but I would generally just keep listening when I was just on the receiving end of some drunken small talk. Honestly, I've never been especially skilled with meaningless conversation from even the more clear-minded, so nods and agreeing smiles made a good enough default response. There were only four townsfolk staggering the aisles of the small convenience store, with two more pumping gas outside when things began to grow dimmer. At first, I honestly can't say I was paying much attention. I was just playing a mindless game on my phone, with the music tuning out the giggling, obviously hammered group. When one of them shrieked, it immediately shot my attention back to the world around me. Prepared to roll my eyes at the dramatic performance of the maybe early 20s brunette who clutched the arm of the tall and lanky guy she was with, it took me a second to realize that all four of them just stared out the window. When I noticed not only the moonlight steadily growing darker beyond the glass, I also realized that the lights inside were dimming as well. Strolling around the counter to get a better look at what had the undivided attention of my customers, I felt my breath catch in my throat upon cutting my gaze to the sky. Before I even realized what I was doing, I found myself standing in the parking lot along the quartet who steadily whimpered. It's hard to describe and really do justice to the sensation of what my unblinking eyes met. But imagine eyelids cupping around the moon itself, gradually closing. It was subtle, the movements of the upper and lower lids as they caused the shimmering orb to narrow, but the effect of the world around me was unmistakable. the lights of the gas station, the illuminated sign, and even the headlights of the two vehicles parked by the pumps, whose drivers now stared our entranced gaze, even those grew dimmer, the slimmer that the moon shrank. Briefly breaking my eyes from this bizarre sight, I glanced at my phone, the vision of the screen darkening, only hastening my pulse all the more. By the time there was only a sliver of light provided by the night sky, I could barely make out the hand before my face. And when it snuffed out completely, I didn't believe I had ever encountered such darkness my entire life, both before that night and since. Muffled screams echoed from somewhere to my left, along with far more distant howls from the direction of where the pumps used to be, not to mention my own involuntary moaning. But even these anguished shrieks had no, I don't know, weight to them, I suppose? Like somehow the lack of any light made even the sound waves struggle to find something against which to reverberate. There was no wind, not even a breeze, as though the world had suddenly ceased its once unending orbit around a sun that may as well had vanished into the same manner as the moon. I was patting my hands against my body just to assure myself that I still had form, but even my touch felt muted, regardless of the fact that my heart felt as though it may break free any second. My feet were steadily backing away from the world which had disappeared before me, until I felt my back press against what I hoped to be the exterior wall of my place of employment. Frantically slapping my hands to the flat surface, I began my attempt to guide myself back to the door, through which I had exited, with my head in the disintegrating clouds. I could hear the shuffling of more feet and the steady, muffled whimpers of those I could no longer see. But they were far from my concern at the time. The knowledge that I had some semblance of company in this unimaginable pitch darkness did set my ease to a point, though that didn't account for much when the other sound rang out across the land. Unlike the empty noises provided by those I hoped to still be nearby, just so I couldn't completely be alone in this, these rang so much clearly. So much louder and agonizingly viscerally. They were unlike anything I had ever heard or knew how to comprehend. The best way I could describe them is something of a chorus of inverted screams. Like something inhaling while wailing, as though the sound should echo into the mouth rather than from it. It felt like the last breath of one dying a most brutal and painful demise, amplified to a volume which could reach the other side of town. Perhaps the furthest reaches of the state compared to my own soundtrack feeling so far away. Though these haunting howls felt distant, I could almost swear that whatever provided them were only inches from my ears. Even with the volume of my rapid pulse unable to reach my ears, the sensation of the tremor within my chest made every desperate breath I was taking almost strained as if a pillow was pressed against my face. I knew I had to control it, that I could not allow this fear to consume me, likely leaving me passed out on the unseen ground. I had to somehow find a place to hide from whatever was out there, from whatever had been birthed by the moon's retreat from the sky. I heard the muffled scuffling of other feet nearby, my chaotic thoughts all over the place, forgetting that I had some semblance of company before the lights went out. Was it the customers from before? Or those providing that terrifying sound which now echoed from closer than before? Though part of me was desperate to know that I wasn't alone, my fear would not allow me to call out to the others. I couldn't draw attention to myself or risk giving away my position. It was completely irrational, I knew that. But somehow, I had no doubt that whatever was out there had no problem seeing through this endless pitch. Before I exited the building, against which my back remained pressed, my head had already been distant, consumed by the slimming moon above. Had I ran left or right after pushing through the door? Surely, if I had just darted straight forward when I backed away from the perplexing sights around me, I would now be leaning against the door itself, right? Though my sensation of touch was so heavily dulled, I drifted my palm across whatever was at my back, hoping that my finger may meet the latch. The surface felt smooth, though not something I completely knew how to describe with my nerve endings so mute. It was glass. It had to be glass. How long had this been going on? How long since light vanished from the world? The memories of whatever life I lived before felt as distant as my home, somewhere out there in the darkness. It felt like both minutes and weeks since I wandered out from my post to see what had made the drunken customers so worked up. When another chorus of those gargled shrieks bellowed out, from what could be anywhere from a few feet to a half mile away though, I knew I had to get moving fast. As I shuffled to the left, keeping my back against the glass, I could vaguely make out something else skidding across the concrete. While the rational part of my brain, which still existed in chronological time, understood that it was most likely one or more of those people out there with me, the part which had abandoned all reason began to panic. When I felt a dull sensation of something squeezing my upper arm, I couldn't even hope to hold back the scream. Somewhere in the distance, I could make out whispering voices.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Urging me to calm my vertebrae submerged wailing, that rational mind grasping to take hold of my scattered thoughts again. Calm down. A slightly panicked voice spoke from somewhere far away. We have to work together. We have to get back inside, I replied, the vibration to my throat and tongue the only thing assuring me that these words were indeed spoken by me. Where's the door? Another voice hummed. Come closer to me, I said, trying to make my slapping against the window to my back audible enough for them to hear. Again, I heard gentle scuffling feet, followed by my barely resonating taps against the glass from beside me, each one more distant than the last. There was another whisper that I couldn't quite make out, repeating three times over, a little louder with each. The fourth and final repetition met my ears enough to understand what was happening.
She found the door!
Over what felt like a half hour, maybe longer, with the hand of my neighbors clasping in mine, we made our way through the door we had exited so long ago, each step feeling as though we walked through a knee-deep swamp. From what I could figure out, from the patches of conversation I had put together, all four of those who had left the store with me had made their way to the side of the building against which my back was pressed. We spread apart, each of us gripping the hands of those beside us, moving as a group to the side, as the last one in line opened up the door. In all honesty, with the lack of any air movement outside, I couldn't tell the difference between being inside, only that we had pressed through the entryway, which gently shut after I crossed through. It wasn't until I tripped over what a distant memory assured me to be a rack of sunglasses that I accepted that we were indeed indoors now. Unfortunately, even encased between walls now, those repeating howls from whatever drew closer by the second still echoed as though they were right next to us. Knowing that the sunglasses display was right next to the door, I waved my hands before me, attempting to locate the locking mechanism. It took me a while, or so it felt. And when I snapped the deadbolt shut, I couldn't count on neither the sensation nor the vague sound to assure me that my mission had been a success. But I wouldn't accept this to be enough to keep us safe from whatever was out there. "We have to get to the storage room," I said, waving my hands around in search of any of my colleagues. All the other voices had grown so distant that I had no way of knowing if they could even hear me. But when something gently tapped my shoulder, drifting down my arm and weaving between my fingers again, I knew what was happening. After a whisper told me that all of our hands had been linked again, I knew that I was leading the way this time through the foreign land around us in search of the door behind a counter which felt miles away from where we stood. With one hand free and one conjoined with another, I waved my arm around in search of the aisle between rows of shelves I once knew to exist in this place. It took a while, some soundless stumbling over my feet, and a few more times being nudged to the floor with a gentle brush against my legs on their descent. But when my fingertips made light contact with which I believed to be shelves, waving them to the other side to feel more presumed shelving parallel from that prior obstacle, I was confident that I was guiding my silent convoy down one of the aisles. Every step was still slow and hesitant, mixed with reluctant comprehension with each footfall. But if my memory served me well, I was certain that the counter behind which the storage room was located was only a short distance ahead. About what I presumed to be about halfway down that aisle, judging by the space between each trudging step, another distant but most alarming sound met my ears, inspiring me to stop in my tracks. Another faraway scream, something gargled and moist, but unmistakably human, blended with a tapping against what I suspected to be the glass of the windows. As that wailing softened, becoming more stuttered, the tapping grew heavier and more dense. When that haunting howl, which was so much closer than before, left that human scream hidden away behind it, I fully and truly understood that whatever provided it was far from human. There was a muffled, wet sound of tearing, causing their tapping sound to quicken before falling silent once more. That silence overcame anything else for some time before a more jarring and shocking shriek echoed across this little town. It differed from before, like this was a cry of victory as opposed to the eerie call of something drawing nearer. It was at this point, as my feet felt rooted to whatever the floor of this convenience store had become, that I didn't just share this gas station with the quartet to my back, but the two who pumped gas when the lights faded from this world. Admittedly, I didn't fully recall that there were two, until another combination of gargled whimpers led into more howls of those celebrating in the defeat of a helpless victim. Somewhere deep within my scattered brain, I felt shame for leaving these two to, judging by what sounds I could make out, be torn apart. But when a far less subtle sound of something pounding against the glass rang out, I knew I had no more time to waste dwelling on the things which I had no control.
"Move!"
the voice behind me whispered, sounding as frenzied as my heartbeat at the time. I didn't need a second request, shuffling us forward with more haste than before. When I heard that muted sound of glass cracking, I couldn't know if the lowered volume of everything, but whatever was out there, was reliable enough to make sure that it had only cracked and not shattered completely. My quickened stroll transformed into as much of a run as my quivering legs could accomplish. Through these murky waters, I felt as though I was battling. My hurried breathing became a cough when my stomach made contact with something, almost knocking the wind out of me, causing me to buckle slightly. My fingers slipped free from my traveling companions as I clutched at my gut before hastily waving my hand back in search of the one it had released. I let out one shaky exhale when it linked with one of my companions again and began scaling what I hoped to be the counter in search of the hatch to pass to the other side. More hollow cracking sounds met my ears, my pulse racing when I reached the flap to split the countertop. I had absolutely no doubt that whatever was out there, working on forcing its way in, could clearly see us making our desperate attempts to escape. But I couldn't let that break my focus. It was not only for my own life I was attempting to preserve, but those who put their faith in me to guide them to a safe haven. Yes, if these things made it through the glass, something I was certain would happen at any second, I couldn't believe a shabby wooden door would hold them back for long. But this was the only hope I had at the time. I felt more items tumble to the ground as I made my way around the corner, that constant tapping and splitting of the windows making every movement more clumsy than the last. With each object that hit the ground, the muted sounds that had made contact with the hard surface was the only thing that reminded me that I did not indeed have murky water encasing my trembling shell. The only thing that allowed me to believe that the real world still existed behind this blanket of darkness. My fingertips patted down the shelves behind the counter, what were once cigarette packs and cartons pouring across my legs. I felt my heart leap from its quivering perch when they wrapped around what I knew to be a doorknob. As that gentle cracking sound somewhere behind us escalated dramatically, making me picture a greenhouse exploding on a television with the volume cranked to its lowest setting, I had no doubt that the five of us were no longer alone in this building. I pulled open the door, the fingers clutching mine slipping free as something nudged my body to the side. Again, I scrambled my hand in search of another, as a second and third nudge almost caused me to topple to the floor. When another set of fingers intertwined with mine, stabilizing my swaying frame before yanking me to one side, I heard another muffled scream while more items tumbled across my legs. More shredding and tearing met my ears, while there was a far more audible, heaving breath upon me. I could feel my hair being gently blown, while a muted yet sickening stench met my nostrils. As such an ear-piercing inverted wail almost deafened me, spitting spatters of some sort of liquid across my face, I felt my arm being yanked again, my foot dragging behind me. A distant sound of a door being slammed shut, an ambient clicking allowing me to hope to God that I was on the inside of that now locked shut entryway. My legs gave out, my descent to the floor feeling so slow and dragged out, perhaps due to the fingers still intertwined between my own. I felt a dull sensation of my impact with the hard ground, causing me to buckle once more. The gentle rattling of the door, a light tapping against it that I knew to be far more violent pounding in reality, made even the slightest sensation of hope drift from me as I still laid on the floor. As I heard a far-off noise of splitting wood and haunting animalistic moans, I knew that our desperate escape had been for nothing. All I could do now was wait for the end. Just sit there and await my own body being torn apart, just like those other two I had left to die in the parking lot. Bracing for my imminent brutal death, my entire body as tense as the crackling door once was, I felt the hand release mine, realizing its owner had been sitting beside me as I shivered on the tiles. I begged for the fingers to reach for me once more, to not leave me to suffer alone. I can't explain how or why, but I knew they wouldn't. I knew they were leaving, prompting my next desperate words. Don't go! Where are you even going? I heard a whispered reply in my ear. Between the volume of my quickened pulse gradually ramping up against my eardrums and that splintering wood growing significantly louder, I couldn't fully make out what words were being spoken. But there was a bizarre familiarity to them that I couldn't quite shake. As a fragment of light flickered on before my eyes, which had only glazed into the deepest pitch of the darkest night, for which could have been hours or even days, I could vaguely make out a shadowed form rushing the door ahead of me. When the silhouette reached out, the wood completely split down its center. Though this fragment of light was dim at best, it gradually grew brighter and brighter, revealing a strangely out-of-focus, jagged, and inhuman limb, which appeared as a blackened shadow made flesh, as it forced itself between the two halves of what was once a door. Just as a hauntingly glossy black eye came into view, peering through the splits, that shadowed form from within the room shot forward. What remained of the door blew apart, throwing splinters of wood back out into the store. Something heavy hit the counter, another of those eerie howls silencing with a resounding impact of the two solids striking one another. As the light grew brighter, even the ambient sound of the world around us, shockingly loud to senses which had grown accustomed to the muted echoes and silence, another series of those anguished wails broke out. But there was something very different about them now. What was once a chorus of confident, goal-driven battle cries was now something of agony and fear. I heard heavy feet beating against the ground and more glass shattering before one final pain-stricken moan rang out, falling into silence as quickly as it had begun. I blinked against the light provided by the fluorescence in the store beaming through the blasted open door. The whimpers of those with whom I shared the storage room blended with those I hadn't realized were coming out of my own mouth. After a time, I broke my watering eyes from the busted open doorway before me, finally secure in the belief that those things were not coming back. Turning my attention back to the others sharing the room with me, I saw two young women and a tall guy huddled together, crying upon one another. But no sign of the fourth. Choosing not to speak, for the first being not quite ready to find out if my voice still sounded like it used to, I just got to my feet and hesitantly made my way out of the room. The sights which quickly came into focus. The cracked and buckled countertop, items, heavy and light, scattered across the floor throughout the shop. And most especially, the blood, viscera, and strewn apart flesh, bone, and organs spread across the room before me, once more turned my legs to gelatin beneath me. I had to believe that these grotesque remains pasted to the walls, ceiling, and floor had been what was left of the fourth member of the quartet with whom I had made my way down the aisle. But it was hard to believe that this much carnage could come from only one person. It took some time to convince myself to get back to my feet again, the rancid stench of human remains, much more potent than I would ever imagined, finally inspiring me to practically sprint for the door. Of course, when my eyes met the far more widespread display of dismembered parts pasted to the shattered windows and tarmac, this did not help my fragmenting mental state in the slightest. The Grady Police Department had their hands full by the time the sun began to arise over the small town in ruins. It would seem that each corner of this humble city had been laid to waste that night, with the exception of a handful of homes and businesses which had managed to remain unscathed. Among those buildings, one of the only houses on my street which had been left untouched was the one which had been lathered in black paint some time before the moon blinked shut. To this day, I never asked Henry what compelled him to renovate his home in such a manner, or how he knew that this would keep him safe. Perhaps some questions are better left to the imagination. I did, however, once I had rebuilt the damage to my father's house, chose to follow the old man's example, as did every other house in my neighborhood, and many more homes and businesses alike. Though nothing like this had ever occurred before, as far as I know, maybe this will help should the moon blink again someday. From what I've been able to put together between my own haunted memories and the recollections of those who I'd spent that night with, the blink itself only lasted for maybe 10 to 15 minutes in real time. Real time in this version of what is real. Maybe that darkness sent this little town somewhere else, where such chronological rules do not exist. Perhaps our perception of time was as muted as every sense in that seemingly unending pitch. It could be as simple as the effect of the fear discombobulating the function of our brains. Who knows? It's probably for the best that I didn't have all the answers, if any, about what really happened when the moon blinked. It wasn't until some months had passed by after the town had recovered from this waking nightmare. Once what remained of the dead the creatures had left behind were cremated or buried, when I returned to my job at the gas station. Patrick Abernathy, Patty, as he had instructed me to call him since my first day, the owner of the place, assured me that everything was back in working condition when I arrived for my shift. I had requested to be moved to the day shift, the dark of even the most moonlit night still enough to leave my mind in a pit of chaos. He assured me that he was working on it, but we would be short-staffed for a while until he could replace those who had either not survived that night or just outright quit. If nothing else, things were quiet that first night back, both a good and bad thing, giving my newfound phobia a silence. Naturally, I kept one of my earbuds in, my chosen soundtrack, and whittling away the tedious hours. It wasn't until I had to grab some things from the storage room when my wandering eyes noticed something scratched into the door where I had been sitting fearful for my life not so long ago that my already fragile thoughts practically threw themselves back to that dark night. It was subtle, just barely etched deeply enough to be visible, vague enough to be missed, while the construction crew took care of rebuilding the place. But I knew, the instant I saw it, that it had been left for me and me alone. Back then, I had simply assumed the shadow figure who held back those who battled to enter the room was the fallen member of the quartet with whom I survived that night. Perhaps I just chalked it up to that last scream before someone dragged me through the door, slamming it shut behind them, was one of those who pushed past me to enter, the fear taking hold of them. With how uncertain the source of any muffled sound was that night, it was easy to assume that it could have come from inside the room rather than to my back. When my legs gave out again, leaving me on my knees on the floor that almost served as my final resting place, the words inscribed into the tiles echoed that parting whisper I had not been able to make out that night. Whether he had found a way to inscribe this while we sat together awaiting the end in hopes that I may see it before the darkness consumed me, or the whisper itself somehow carved into the fabric of reality, the message and who left it was undeniable. Never too far away, Jackie Boy.